Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is the Lamp and Light broadcast coming to you from Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry that takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is, to men as they are, without compromise or apology, while at the same time speaking the truth in love, giving the lamp and light to all.
Yesterday, in our study of church fellowship, we were taught that an unforgiving spirit is diametrically opposed to fellowship. Let's continue with that thought today.
And now, here is our teacher and radio pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
An unforgiving spirit is diametrically opposed to fellowship. When we have an unforgiving spirit, we tear down one of the pillars of the local church, according to Acts chapter 2, verse 42. Do you remember that passage where he said, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and breaking of bread, and in prayers." Again, breaking of bread, the Lord's Supper, prayers, doctrine, Bible doctrine, and fellowship, right on that same level. Is there someone that's wronged you? Are you holding a grudge? Perhaps they will never feel they're wrong and never apologize. And you'll have to forgive them in your heart, and it must be in your heart, so that if they ever ask forgiveness, you can extend it to them. You see, forgiveness finds that its goal is restoration. So when we separate and we part company with someone, the goal is so that we might be able to forgive and restore fellowship, not to hold a grudge, not to have something for which to gossip. Do you remember the story in Genesis 45, verses 4 through 15? Let me read that to you. "And Joseph said unto his brethren, Come near to me, I pray you. They came near, and he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom ye sold into Egypt. Now therefore, be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that ye sold me hither. For God did send me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years hath the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years, in which there shall be neither be earing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now, it was not you that sent me hither, but God. And he hath made me a father to Pharaoh, and lord of all his house, and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Haste ye, and go up to my father, and say unto him, Thus saith thy son Joseph, God hath made me lord over all Egypt. Come down unto me, tarry not. Thou shalt dwell in the land of Goshen, and thou shalt be near unto me, thou and thy children, and thy children's children, and thy flocks, and thy herds, and all that thou hast. And there will I nourish thee. For yet there are 5 years of famine, lest thou and thy household and all that thou hast come to poverty. Behold, your eyes see, and the eyes of my brother Benjamin, that it is my mouth that speaketh unto you. And ye shall tell my father of all my glory in Egypt, and of all that ye have seen, and shall haste and bring down my father hither. And he fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck and wept. And Benjamin wept upon his neck. Moreover, he kissed all his brethren and wept upon them. And after his brethren talked with him." Now, just think about that. His brethren not only sold him into Egypt, where he was put in chains and even hurt his feet that he limped the rest of his life. We find that at one point they were talking about killing him. Joseph knew all this going on. He knew what his brothers did to him. And really, he had spent 12, 13 years before he got to this point of being able to have a position in Egypt. Those first 13 years were pretty rough on him. And yet, now he's filled with compassion for his brethren. They know in their heart they don't deserve any forgiveness. They have a hard time accepting that they're forgiven. And you'll see that later in the book of Genesis. But Joseph was able to do that because he walked with God. You walk with God, you'll keep short accounts. You walk with God, you'll learn to love the unlovely and those who do bad to you and treat you wrongly, because Jesus did that for you. And perhaps there's someone you know today that has treated you that way, and maybe you need to go to them and say, you know what, you did this to me, it hurt. But if you're willing to turn from that and you're sorry, hey, I'll forgive. I'd like to have fellowship with you. I want to be your friend. Now, they may get mad and say, I want nothing to do with you. That's fine. But you have the forgiveness in your heart ready to be extended to restore fellowship when they do get right. You know, the Lord just doesn't save us if we come to Him without a desire to repent of our sin. We're told in Romans 3:23 that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and that includes me, and that includes you, my friend. We're told that there's none righteous, no, not one. And boy, as we're thinking of forgiveness, we all are like sheep that have gone astray and turned to our own way. We've gone away from His will. We've offended God. And so every one of us have sinned. No man on the face of this earth, no one listening to this voice of mine, is excluded, including me. We've all sinned, come short of the glory of God. By the way, the glory of God is Jesus Christ. Now, we find out in Acts 17:30 and 31 that God commandeth all men, not just some men, not just some specified, selected group of men, but He says that God commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because He hath appointed a day in which He will judge the world. Jesus said, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. We find out that the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You see, this idea of repentance is not a work. Oh no, it's not a work. It's not doing penance. But it's realizing, I'm a sinner, I cannot save myself, but I have offended Almighty God. And His word says, I deserve to go to the eternal lake of fire and burn there forever and ever, never able to cease to exist, and never able to escape that fiery furnace. And so, there we are. That's what we earned, and that's what's due to us, because the wages of sin is death. Final complete separation from God forever in the lake of fire. And when we come to Him, we must come to Him just as we are and say, Lord, I'm a sinner and I keep sinning over and over again. I don't want to be that way, but I do. And so the Bible tells us that God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, just like we are, you can't get good enough in order for the Lord to save you. But while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Christ loves you as you are, my friend. He wants to save you as you are. And so you come to Him and say, Lord, I've sinned. I've come short of the glory of God. And I can't save myself. But I do want cleansed from my sin. You see, the Bible lets us know that Jesus came to cleanse us from our sin. One of the benefits of that is that we're saved from hell. But the main point is to cleanse us from our sin and to make us His children. And He said in John 1:12, that as many as received Him, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. If you believe that Jesus, which the Bible says He did this, and the Bible was never wrong, that Jesus died on the cross, shedding His blood for every sin you ever have or ever will commit. We read earlier in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, that said, He bare our sins in His own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you are healed. People say, well, I want Jesus to save me, but I don't want to live unto righteousness. Well, you're not getting saved. Just saying Jesus coming to my heart doesn't save you when you have no desire for the Lord to cleanse you and to give you everlasting life. As Jesus said in John 3:19-21, there are a lot of those men who love darkness rather than light and won't come to the light. They want saved from hell, but they don't want saved from sin. And salvation has to be deal with being saved from sin. And then you're saved from hell. And see, if you want forgiveness, your sin is always against God. And so you come to him for forgiveness. And yet he says, him that cometh to me, I'll in no wise cast out. And if by faith, believing that he did pay the penalty for your sins, was died for you, shed his blood for your sin, and that he was buried, and 3 days later he literally, bodily rose from the dead, he says, then he'll save you. Why not right now, right where you are, call upon God and ask him to save you? You say, man, I don't know how to pray. I wouldn't know what to say. Well, I'm going to form a prayer. The prayer that I form will only be words if you don't mean it. But if you mean this, then pray this prayer right where you are as I pray it here. I'll say it slowly. Again, they're only words if you don't mean it. But if you mean this, then pray a prayer something like this. Dear God, I know I'm a sinner and I need forgiveness. Forgive me of my sins. I believe Jesus Christ shed his blood for my sin and died on the cross. I believe that he was buried, and 3 days later, he rose up bodily from the grave. I right now invite Jesus Christ into my heart and my life as my Lord, as my God, as my Savior. Save me right now. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, my friend, if you really meant that, you just prayed it and you meant it, would you write us and let us know? You can email us. You can write us at the address Mr. Banks gives you at the end of this broadcast. And then let me say, if you have done this, then go to our website and look up Building Blocks. You say, I'm not on the web, then write us and say, I'd like to have the booklet Building Blocks, and I'll send it to you. That'll help you to grow in this new Christian life, teaching you how to pray, how to study the Bible to get more from it, teach you about doctrines of last things as well as other doctrines of the Bible, and just a host of other things, the local church and various things that'll help you as a Christian. And we want you to have it. And so I hope that you'll do that. And friend, please, please, now understand, God wants to have a daily relationship with you. So call a pastor in your area that is a fundamental independent Baptist pastor. You may have to look in your yellow pages and look up Baptist Independent or Baptist Independent Fundamental. Call them up. Make sure they use the King James Bible. Make sure that they're not using rock and roll or contemporary music. And tell them of the decision you made, and they'll be happy to tell you about the next step and to help you to grow in your new Christian life. My friend, we do want to be a help to you. And my friend, please allow the lamp of God's Word to be the light that you follow today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD or cassette tape of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, the radio station by which you are listening, the date of the broadcast, and a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. We also welcome your comments on the broadcast and Bible questions. Again, you may write us at the same address, which is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the web at www.centralbaptistocala.org. No breaks. Click Sermon Library. Again, that web address is www.centralbaptistocala.org with no breaks. This is your announcer, Jerry Banks, saying, may God's peace be with all that are in Christ Jesus.